Heavenly Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory. I thank you. You are here already to make sure that the expectation in every heart is met. I commit the next 30 to 40 minutes into your hands. I believe I receive the grace to deliver your word as accurately as you have delivered it to me. Father, I thank you. I give you all the praise. It's the entrance of your word that gives light and understanding to the simple. I thank you, Lord, the joint combination of light and understanding. As your word enters the hearts of your people, places them in their position of supremacy over what, wherever they may be, over whatever they are going through. And I thank you, Lord, at the end of this message, everybody goes from wherever level of glory they may be to a higher level of glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Funny enough, it's only Luke that records this. If I'm turning your Bible with me to Luke 23 and 34. Luke 23 and verse 34, there's something very, very important that happened. The Bible, Luke records it. I think it was yesterday. I was scrolling through Facebook, and a pastor friend of ours put 36 points on what happened to the body of Jesus whilst he was on that cross. By the time I got to point three, I had to stop because it was becoming too detailed for me. He came to his own. Is it Pontius Pilate said, "I see nothing wrong in this man," but they said, "Crucify him." That was his own. They said, "Crucify him." They ridiculed him. The movies show cloth covering his dignity. No. They did not. They ridiculed him. They reduced him to nothing. And they stood by to watch him die. And in verse 34, Jesus turns to his father and says, Luke 23, verse 34, "Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.'" Some of us have the effrontery to say, if they apologize, I will forgive them. So you put a condition on releasing them. But he was hanging on that tree. He came to his own, but it was his own. And they stood by to watch him die. And they mocked him. They said, "You are the King of Jews, deliver yourself." But he looked at them, looked to his father, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." One of the most profound, well, one of the benefits of the resurrection is the fact that you can say it and get it. But one major hindrance to that, and we, most of us, we overlook it. We don't know. We like to act holy, sanctified. We say, it's a command. Forgive, let them go. Because in Mark 11, Jesus said, "If you do not forgive, your Father too in heaven also will not forgive you." And that's a major hindrance to us. Offense. Yeah, because people will offend you. You will be offended. But you now, if they apologize, then I will let you. I'll let them go. No. I brought that up as that is our model. Jesus did not say, "Okay, Father, they don't know what they do, but when they apologize for what they are doing to me, then I will." No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Let them go. Yeah? Offense free. Release them. Release them. And then, one way to know if you haven't completely forgiven somebody, just imagine that person walks into the room. If there's anybody in your life, the moment they enter the room, the moment you see them, if that alone is enough for your mood to change, you haven't forgiven that person. You have not forgiven that person. Let them go. Hallelujah. Just let them go. Amen. Thank you very much, sir. Maybe towards the end, you come and help me. Thank you very much. Hebrews chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It reads, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Apostle is a person that is sent. High priest is a minister. So in other words, we can say here, consider Jesus is the one sent to minister the things that you say. He's the one sent to minister the things that you say. Because confession there, I looked at different translations. Confession there, some translations read it as lifestyle. But then, as believers, the life we live is the things you say. Yeah? So I would like to go with, he is the one sent to minister what you are saying. Now, Psalm 91, very 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 powerful psalm. I want to suggest most of us know this, if not off heart, but we know Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. So therefore, the whole of Psalm 91 rests on you saying, he is my refuge and my fortress. So therefore, it is your confession. It is what you are saying. Yeah? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. All right? And he says, it starts with, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, can anything smaller than you cast a shadow on you? Can anything smaller than you? No. So for you to be in his shadow, he has to be bigger than you. Amen. And it says it all. Yeah. The Most High. Yeah. The Almighty. But Psalm 91 relies on what you say. It relies on what you say. The whole of Psalm 91, because from verse 3 to the end is what God would do to the person that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. But for that to happen, it starts with you saying, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Okay. I'm a teacher. I think it was three weeks ago. One of my students said, he said, sir, I read this statement. It says, if the brain is a supercomputer, then what you say is the software it runs on. Now, that's an unbeliever who, but I heard that and I thought on that over and over and over and over again. And I said, that is true. That is absolutely true. If your brain is a supercomputer, then what you say is the software it runs on. So watch what you say. Because Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. He said, you will have whatever you say. So watch what you say. Okay. Now, there are two things. Let me show you first, and then we would refer them. We're going to turn to two places in the Bible. First is Luke chapter 6, and then Colossians chapter 2. So Luke chapter 6, and then Colossians chapter 2. In Luke chapter 6, that was Jesus talking. Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to start from verse 43. This is Jesus talking in Luke chapter 6. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That's Jesus talking. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 reads, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. But I wanted to bring out established in the faith. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your mouth would always give way what is in your heart in abundance. If you have said it, it has been in your heart in abundance. For you to have said it, that is evidence of what's in your heart in abundance. Your mouth will always reveal what is in you in abundance. And also, what you say also indicates what you are established in. What you say. So for example now, Emmanuel likes to put it this way. He says, when life puts pressure on you, what you say is what's in you in abundance. And that is why Kenneth Copeland's, I think it was, granddaughter was rushed to the hospital because she had this deadly strain of, is it meningitis? I don't know what it was, but then it wasn't looking nice at all. And chances, it's either the girl was going to die or from neck down, she'd be paralyzed. That was how rapidly it was spreading through her body. So according to Kenneth Copeland's daughter, when she was called, you know, when they're telling you that your child is this what's happened, this is the diagnosis, this is what might happen, she said, you know, this sickening feeling was trying to come out of her. But then, you know, I mean, just try and imagine that. Your daughter has been rushed to the hospital, and from everything the doctors are saying, it's like a medical science cannot do anything. And she just kept quiet. Just looked at it, kept quiet. She didn't have anything to say yet. She just kept quiet. She just kept quiet. At the time, the father was, Ken Copeland and Gloria, they were in Australia. So I think they had rounded up. So they told them. So they were flying back.
She didn't do anything. She didn't say anything. She did not say anything.
And then immediately when she had the words to say, she then spoke. She said, I speak to the anointing of God in you. Rise up and drive this away. Eventually, when she had something to say, that's what she said. The father, Kenneth Copeland, arrived and took him to where the daughter was. And word for word, he said the same thing. He said, I speak to the anointing of God in you. Rise up and drive this thing away. Within a couple of hours, she was discharged. And she's still alive now. She went home. But if they had not taken the time, to store God's word in their heart, it's what you put in. It's what you put in your heart that when you come against it, when you come, because let me just spoiler alert: we will all come. You will always at a point in time come across something bigger than you. And at that time, it is what you have stored in your heart in moments of peace. That is what's going to come out. And as Kenneth Copeland said, if you have spent your time watching EastEnders and Hollyoaks? And thank you. If that's what you've spent your time watching Ready, Steady, Cook. If that's what you invested your time in, when that jam comes, that's what's going to come out. But if if you want words that carry the life that situation needs, if that's what you want to come out, this is when you take the time to store those words in your heart. Because Jesus said it, out of the abundance of your heart. It is what is in your heart in abundance. If you find it easy to say things, it's because it's in abundance in your heart. Because your mouth is, you can fake it sometimes, you know, say what you don't mean. But the moment you have said it, that is the evidence. That's the way God has programmed us. That is the evidence that's what's in your heart in abundance. And then what you say is evidence of what you are established in. If I'm looking for an example. Healthcare comes up. You know, the doctors say, you need to go, whatever it is. Yeah? Whatever it is, bigger than you, the pressure comes. It is what you are established in. That's what's going to come out. So the question now is, how do we fill our hearts? How do we fill our hearts with what we need? How do we fill our hearts? And it's you've heard me say this over nearly. I mean, if for those of you who go back to the website and listen to the messages that I've delivered, is more you can summarize everything, most of what I've stood here to say. And yes, I'll go back to it, because that is how you get to fill your heart. That's how you get to fill your heart with what you want to come out. Amen. Today I want to look at meditation. He told Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now let me give you a strategic way to meditate, because this is how pilots become excellent pilots. So what they train them to do is for them to imagine different scenarios and then decide what to do. Because as a pilot, if you come across something unexpected, if you have to think about your response, you are not yet ready.
It has to be automatic, your response. Yeah? And that's how they train. That's how they train pilots. So what? Then you can do the same thing with God's word. You can do the same thing with God's word. You take Psalm, for example, take Psalm 23, and then you read it. You read it again. You read it again. And now picture yourself in that psalm. Or, because it's easy, I know all of us can do this. Picture something unexpected rising. And then, as you're meditating, see yourself. See yourself responding the way God would expect you to respond. That's one way to meditate. So you read it over and over and over and over again. And then you get to the point. Because we all do it. We all have imagination. Yeah. Use the power of your imagination. Imagine that word being fulfilled in your life. That's one way to do it. Yeah. Imagine it. They say, you take Isaiah 53, by his stripes we were healed. You read it over and over and over again, and then you just imagine yourself there. That's what God's word says. Imagine yourself there. Okay. And then Jesus, in Matthew, he said, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand in lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they shall understand with their hearts and turn. That's another way to do it. Yeah. So because the one way you connect what you see to what you hear, is you say it. So you say it, you repeat it on purpose. Because when God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. How can you say something that is not departing? So I read that over and over again. I said, God, what are you trying to say? And God told me, listen, when you're saying my work back, say it with the intention to be the one to share it. God doesn't need to hear it. And one mistake that most of us fall for is we say so other people can hear it. Other people can hear it. No, that's not the reason why you repeat God's word. That is not the reason why you repeat God's word. No. You are saying it. And then if we break what God said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he said, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. So the reason why you are meditating, the end goal, especially, and then if you realize, he says, this book of the law is what he has commanded them to do. And the best example I can give is Crefodola. There was one Christmas. If he was the good uncle, good family relative, because he had a long list. If he was that good and responsible family member, he would not have been able to tithe. Ha! Say, look, tithe, Christmas gifts. So he just went to Malachi chapter 3, and that's all he did. He read it over and over and over and over and over again until all he wanted to do was honor God with that tithe and he tithe. I don't know the end of the story, but I just brought that up. Especially if you're struggling to do what he has commanded you to do. He says, meditate in it that you may observe to do. Huh? That you may observe to do. So now the question is, why do we have to say, why is God so hooked up on this saying it? Huh? Because in Romans 10, it says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by his word. Every time you repeat God's word and you hear it, faith is coming. Because that's what he says. It's, okay, let's go there. So he wants to say, what pastor said. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, I believe. Is that Romans chapter? Let's turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse. Romans chapter 10 and. It is
Verse 17, yes. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
He did not say, you say it once. No, you say it over and over.
With every time you say it, faith is coming.
But that faith that comes, because you have to understand, especially if, like me, we started this when you were around 28, 29. You've spent 28 years speaking rubbish. Because it's two things, two forces, either faith or fear. Yeah? So whenever you speak, faith is either coming to your heart or fear is coming to your heart. For the past 28 years, you have been saying whatever you wanted to say. Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know. So that faith, the initial faith that comes, is first of all dealing with you. It's cleaning up all the, it's cleaning up the doubt. It's cleaning up the faithlessness, the unbelief, until it gets to the root of fear and then uproots it. Okay? But it doesn't happen because you just said it once. It has to now become a lifestyle. So you say it over and over and over and over again. That's why you, some ministers will say, if you are believing God for something and you have his word concerning, put it everywhere. Be strategic. If you go to the fridge a lot, put it in the fridge. Put it on the fridge. So every time you go to the fridge, read it. Say it. When you repeat God's word, when you say God's word and you share it, faith is coming. Yeah. So the faith deals with the unbelief, it deals with the doubt, it deals with the faithlessness until it gets to the root of fear. It uproots fear. And then, as you keep saying it, faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming, until your heart is now full. The next time you repeat it, instead of that faith coming to you, it now goes to work on your circumstance. And that is the reason. That is the reason why we say it over and over and over and over and over again. Until, like Jesus, we know. Because it's not a thing of pride. It's just knowing that, God, me, this earth, he has given me authority. I have authority. When the waves was trying to drown the boat he was in, did the Bible record, Father, you sent us on this journey. You wanted us to go from point A to point B. Now look at this storm. Is that what Jesus said? No. He spoke to the storm and said, peace, be still. And you can do the same. But for that to happen, you see, that's why now I'm tilted more. You see, in Romans chapter, in Hebrews 3, where it says the apostle and high priest of our comfort. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. So when he rears his ugly head, you have specific, straight to the point words. Get out. Instead of, oh, Father, when we started this mortgage, you're not telling, you're recounting stories. No. At that time, it's money you need. You have been sowing seed. Money, come. That's it. But if you have not taken the time to fill your heart with God's word, it is what you have in your heart in abundance. That's what's going to come out. Hey, let me go and look for a second job. Hey, let me go and see pastor. Let me go and tell. Why? When he has given you authority. Money, come. No, you're bolder enough to say, mortgage, you are paid. I'm paid for in full. How it happens, it's going to do you. All God needs you. Your part is the same part. His part is the action part. Amen. But for that to happen, it needs to be your lifestyle. It needs to be your lifestyle. So that you're not just reading your Bible because they've said out of religion, once in the morning, once at no. Because the God's word is in three, if I'm permitted to put it that way, is in three strands. In God's word, you find a statement of fact. Yeah. So, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Yes? Yeah. Ha. That's a fact. Healing is not a promise. It's a fact. Because through Isaiah, God said, by his stripes, we are healed. It's a fact. So in God's word, there's fact. There is a promise. Yeah? Example of a promise, Mr. O. The Lord your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is a promise, Mr. O. Promise. And then the third strand is a command, what he has commanded you to do. So what you need to be doing is going through his word to find out what he needs you to do. And then meditate on that until you observe to do. Meditate, it becomes your meditation. You say it over and over and over and over again. Very beautiful picture in the book of James. In chapter 1, it talks about the person that, a double-minded person, moved waves, wind and the wave will carry that person anywhere. But then in chapter 3, it talks about small rudder in the ship, directs the ship where it goes. And I loved Bill Winston's. Bill Winston's, the bit that they put in the mouth, in the horse's mouth. I never knew until he expanded it. It's actually the pressure that you put on the mouse tongue that moves that, and some horses are heavier than cars, moves that horse as you wish. The pressure. So you're putting pressure on your tongue to say the right things. And the reason why you're doing it is because every time you repeat God's word, faith is coming. Faith is coming. And then I think I'll close with this illustration. When they want to, if pilot is the one that does airplane, who does ship? Is it sailor? Okay. You want to turn the ship to the left. They have to, they'll do something with the rudder, and then all of a sudden, the whole ship starts to turn. But first of all, it goes, if it's going to the left, it will turn slightly to the right first, and then it will make the left turn. If you notice, you got excited about confessing God's word. And you start confessing God's word. All of a sudden, all the good things you are confessing, you're confessing, money comes to me. I am rich. I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. And all of a sudden, hey, looks like salary does this. It's not going to cover your need for that month. An inexperienced sailor noticing I wanted to turn left, but this thing is turning right, will now start undoing it. That ship is about to get lost. And the same thing with us. We are confessing. I'm blessed. I'm the head. I'm not, head and not the tail. And all of a sudden, I'm broke. This thing does not work. It already worked. It already worked. It's you realizing the word of God is your the word of God fulfilled in your life is your destination. And until you've arrived there, you don't see anything different. It's called discipline. Yes. and then let me also let you know, what you say is of higher spiritual power than what you see. Because you can change what you see with what you say. If you can be diligent enough to keep saying it until it arrives. Discipline. So you start and... somebody asked, so when you stop confessing God's word, you start now and just put it on eternal loop. Because when we get to heaven, we won't be talking. It's the same thing we're going to be talking. So do I stop when what I'm expecting? No, you carry on doing it. You carry on doing it. And we have a good example, Dodie Austin. She was given a few weeks to live because she had they found cancer in her body. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock. She had about 51 scriptures, promises. 61 scriptures that guarantees healing and health. Every 10 o'clock, every 2 o'clock, every 6 o'clock, she reads it. She reads it. She's still alive today. And if you want to find her 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, she's still reading those same scriptures. So when do we stop? You don't stop. You just keep, you keep saying it over and over. You keep saying it. It's a lifestyle, and you have to also appreciate. He has given us authority. How does a person of authority? How do you know in a group of people? How do you know the one that is the authority figure? It's the one that's backing our command. The one that is saying it. That's the one that's the one. And that's the way, that is the way God expects you to live. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you go. You go. Not, oh, Father in heaven. Hey, this mountain. You're now doing documentary about the mountain. No. It says, have faith in God, whosoever. If that means the person got born again yesterday, or 2 hours ago, or just now, or the one that's born again for 20 years, whosoever should say to the mountain, not telling God about them, to the mountain. Yeah? It doesn't doubt in his heart, and I'm sure you know the rest of it. But for you to get to that point, because you have to also understand that words are containers. So if you are saying it, but you are not seeing the effect that you expect, go back and do some more meditating on God's word. Go back and do some more confessing of God's. Go back and do some more repeating of God's word. Because remember, faith comes every time you hear God's word. So when you are speaking and your words are not as powerful as you expect, go and do some more meditation. Go and do some more meditation. Meditate on it over and over again. Until you get to that point, you say it and you get it. Because Jesus himself said it. He said, you will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. And it's, because it's so nice. Your child comes, says, oh, daddy, I'm feeling pain here. And you just lay hands in the name of Jesus, wrong address, get out. And then within two, whatever means, oh, daddy, I'm fine. It's so sweet. Or all of a sudden, financial need arises. And you just say, okay. What's it called? Just the plan to say, Father, here's your bill. That's for you. You handle it. And he takes his mind off it. It's so sweet. And then you do that, and then before you know it, you know, God make, you know, the money comes. It's so sweet. But it takes discipline. Because God's word needs to be in your heart in abundance. To the point where, another one, oh yes, I was it a dream? Or I think I was over meditating. That one day they would call me in John's school and they'll say, John laid his hands on one of his friends to pray for him. I say, and is the child still sick? No. So why are you calling me here? Because whenever John says, oh, daddy, my head, I talk to the head. Tell your head what you want. Pain, go. So he has, that is his upbringing. And his friend now comes and says, he's feeling his pain in his stomach. Yeah, you lay hands on him. Pain, go. Isn't it? It's sweet. But then for that to happen, you have to realize your mouth would give way what is in your heart in abundance. And it is what you are established in. That is what you would say when you come into a jam. So it's in the time of peace that you start filling your heart with God's word you want to come out, just in case that devil, just in case he says, let me try this sister. If she truly believes that she's blessed, now try and mess with your job. Yeah. It is the word that you have, it's the word you have stored up in you in the time of peace. That is what would come out when you come across a jam. Just, I'll close with this.
Jesus has said it. You will have. You will have whatever you say. You will have it. So your duty now is to check. Is to check. And I've done the same thing. What's it called? Kenneth Copeland said he gave God permission to just sort him out immediately, just in case he says something that's not in line with what he's believing. And the way God answered that prayer was, whenever he says anything that's out of line and is in the presence of glory, I glory say, should we believe that we receive what you've just said? That thing he never used to like it, because his wife is correcting it, because he had said something that is out of line what he's believing. But that's the way God answered his prayer. You can pray that same prayer as well. Whenever I say anything that is not in line, Father, deal with me on the spot, because my feet are killing me. And then your angels are supposed to carry out what you're saying. I say, does this person want to? Should we just slap him so he can just die? Because your feet are killing you. No, you want to say, because you are. And then, I do appreciate it. Yeah, you're very good with doing the numbers. And then what is left will not take for the last 10 days before payday. That's still no evidence. There's still no right for you to say you're broke. You want to be broke? Yeah. Hallelujah. You will have whatever you say, and it is what is in your heart in abundance. That is what will come. Your mouth would give way. You come across a jam, your mouth will show what you have stored in your heart in abundance. So it is now in the time of peace that you make it. I love that word. It's discipline. It's discipline. You have to do it. As sweet as it is that he raises his ugly head and you can sort him out with words. You can sort him out with it. So as sweet as it is for that to happen, you have to spend the time filling your heart with God's word. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Rise to your feet and let's give God praise. And I will close with something Taffy Dollar says. She says, we create with the words we speak. You create. So every time you speak, you are creating. But the question you need to ask yourself is, am I creating what I really want? And then if I can have you on the keyboard, and Mr. O has done it again, because I promised myself, because Pastor says it is so it is our who joins us here from is it from 13 age 13 up from yes because the last time I was here I realized that whenever I come I'm always giving a word for everybody. I'm forgetting our youth. So this is for anybody, especially Sean, who is is it GCSE A-level season? I want to give you one word that you can commit to your heart that would ensure, guarantee academic success. I need to find it. It's in Isaiah 54. I need to find it. Isaiah 54. Yes, verse 13. And parents, you can pray. You can pray over your children as well. It says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. So you can meditate over that. Isaiah 54 verse 13. Meditate over and over and over again. Until your confidence of 9, it's not 9, confidence for 9 is because you have been taught of the Lord. Not because you had a great biology teacher or a great math teacher or you have an excellent school, they always produce 9s. No. Because you have been taught of the Lord, and great is your peace. Amen. Give God praise. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Father, we thank you. 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 You thank you. We thank you. You said we will have whatsoever we say. Father, we ask for the grace. We ask for the grace to be diligent, grace to be disciplined in spending quality time with your word. We ask for the grace to obey your instruction to Joshua, that this book of the law shall not depart from our mouths, but we shall meditate in season, out of season, especially when we don't feel like it. We'll meditate that we may observe to be obedient to you and you alone. Father, to you be all the praise and all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen.